Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, guys? Alex Contreras alongside Tyler Wilson and Jonathan Fernley. Is that Fernley? Can you correct me on that?
No, you're all good. Jonathan Fernley is spot on.
Yeah, I got it right. Welcome to another episode of Marlins Barbecue. We're really excited. And what more exciting than a Marlins W? We just came. We hit the freaking Braves in the mouth. We punched them in the face. And we took game one of the series, 5-4. Jose Ureña pitched 5 innings. He did his job. He gave up 3 earned runs. You know, what did you guys think? Tyler, let's go around the horn. Tyler, what'd you think?
So number one thing, I think to me, Jose Ureña coming off of the COVID-19 injured list and then coming out and only allowing 3 to the red hot Atlanta Braves offense. Wasn't beautiful, but he got the job done.
Yeah, it wasn't beautiful, but yeah, it definitely got the job done. Jonathan, what about you? UK time. You guys across the pond. He stayed up late. See that Marlins W.
Yeah, it's always worth it when there's a W at the end of it, even when it goes into extras. Jose did his job tonight. Just got to keep it close. He's operating as 5th starter right now. We're not expecting him to pump in, you know, 8 innings of, you know, no earned run ball. That's not his job in this part of the rotation. His job is to be an innings eater. He managed to eat 5. As he pitches more and builds his health back up after his spell on the IL, then he's going to be able to go deeper into games and get through a few more innings and save the bullpen, because there's only so many bullpen games the Marlins can have right now. We don't want to be relying on 5 innings of relief too many more times, particularly with all the games we've got coming up over the next 20-odd days. But yeah, well, I'll take 5 innings and 3 earned runs from every Jose start the rest of the way, because our offense should be able to get those back and then some.
I mean, right now the Miami Marlins need all the pitching help that we can get. We're going to go on 28 games. We're going to play 28 games during the next 24 days. So it's going to be a crazy stretch. We're going to have 3 doubleheaders. We're going to have 2 against the Phillies coming up. And really, man, the Marlins are in great position. We got lots of depth. And if it weren't for that depth, I'd really think that I would throw up a flag. All Marlins Nation would be panicking. But we can say that the wheels are staying together. The wheels aren't falling apart. There's still hope. Jose Ureña, hell of a job. Super impressive. Like, he really made his first start against the potent Braves offense. And to limit them to 3 runs was great. One thing touching base on is that how funny was it that he hit Ronald Acuña? Like, ew, like, I can't believe he hit Ronald Acuña. It was not on purpose.
97.5 miles an hour from Ureña. And he hit him again.
And going back to 2018, like, that wasn't on purpose either. And if anything, Ronald Acuña should thank freaking Jose Ureña, because back in 2018, Ronald Acuna didn't wear an elbow guard. Now he wears an elbow guard, and he got hit right where that elbow guard is. So what's his whole show about? Oh, now pitchers can't pitch on the inside part of the plate? Like, what is his whole deal? That's not just for the Marlins. It goes for everybody in Major League Baseball. You got to try to control a player like Ronald Acuna. Like, he's such a freaking prima donna. I'm sick and tired of this guy, bro. Like, he's so talented, and I love it. But damn, dude, well, you can't tell me you can't pitch in the inside part of the corner. Sometimes he's going to slip, and they're going to hit him. Tough luck, dude. Move on.
Yeah, you want to get in on his hands. You want to brush him back off the plate. And, you know,
you don't want that dude to extend his arms. If he extends his arm, he's going deep. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to chop up. You want to jam him. That's everything that you want to do with him. So,
but you make a great point about that elbow guard, because if he wasn't wearing that elbow guard and he wasn't just there adjusting it, stood off second base, Jose wouldn't have been able to spin around and pick him off.
Oh, and that was the beauty of it. Like, I loved how it was like he got creative with it, bro. He got creative. It's like, all right, what do I do? I can't punch him out. So, hey, you know what? Boom, he plunked him. No big deal. Boom, turns over, picks him off. You know what I'm saying? Acuna thought he was going to have the last slap. He's like, oh, I'm going to steal second base. Okay, cool. You steal second base. But Ureña didn't keep his eyes off of him, and he got the payback, baby. And that was nice. That's love. That's lovely revenge for me.
Yeah, and I mean, did you actually see him actually? I got this. And then the moment he took it, then Jose Ureña just responded with just picking him off. I'm really interested. I want to see this again. I want to see Jose Ureña versus Ronald Acuna again, because I really think it's a ticking time bomb. Like, one of these, they don't like each other. For some reason, like, they just do not like each other.
It's just, you know what it is? It's like Acuna is a fiery guy. You know, Ureña is a bulldog. He's got the bulldog mentality. This is a guy that was an opening day starter for this ball club for 2 years in a row. And, like, he has that fire. He has that passion. He's not trying to go in here and trying to hurt anybody. Like, it's part of the game. He's just trying to control the inside part of the plate. That's all it is. Like, Acuna's got to stop taking all this shit personally and just go up there and bat. Like, if anybody else hits him, like, I know he does that to, like, Roger Clemens or a Pedro Martinez, they're going to go right back inside and make him back off the plate, because that's their plate. That's what a pitcher has to do. Like, you're not going to tell the pitcher. Like, this happened the other time. I can't remember who was pitching, but it was Marcell Ozuna. It was when the Braves were here, and then Lilo Hernandez was pitching, and one slipped, and he almost hit Ozuna, and Ozuna got upset and started going off on him, and it's like, oh, what? Now guys can't pitch on the inside part of the plate? Like, and then that forced Hernandez to throw on the outside part of the plate, and coincidentally, Ozuna got a base hit. So it's like, yo, I'm sick and tired of these guys trying to manipulate how the hell pitchers got to pitch. Like, they're major league pitchers. Let him do what he's got to do. Get over it, Braves.
Yeah, Ureña had already had a few control issues, particularly in that first innings. He was missing the plate by a long way to the first few batters, and I think he hit Freeman later on in the game. So, you know, his misses were not on the corners. So it's not a surprise that one got in a little too far and caught the elbow.
First start back, bro. It's his first start of the season. Yeah. Give the guy a break. Jesus. Anyway, so moving on, guys. You know, I'm used to my man Red, my co-partner, kind of, you know what I'm saying, moving it along for me. Anyway, so we're moving on. And what do you guys think of Miguel Rojas? Had hell... one hell of a day. His dad's birthday today. Shout out to his father. Guy went 4-for-4, game-winning RBI, and this is a guy that really, like, has established himself as a team leader, the team captain, the heart and soul of this Miami Marlins club.
Cooper at second, and that is sent to right center, and that is going to fall. Open real estate there for Miguel Rojas to bring in a run. And here comes another. The Marlins strike. Anderson will hold up at third. It's 5-4 Miami.
What a day for Miguel Rojas, huh? This is your unsung hero. This is your captain of your team. This is your guy. I mean, what a day.
I think that he's at his peak right now. He's 31 years old. He's going to turn 32 when opening day starts next year. This is a guy that he's took the baton from Martin Prado, and he's been a great role model for the guys in the clubhouse. That being said, I don't think this guy is going to be around for the next 2-3 years. I think that we got to make room, whether it's a Jazz, whether it's an Eason, whether it's an Eddie Alvarez, whether it's nobody that's in this organization right now. There's going to be a time where the Marlins are going to have to make a move. I'm saying, hey, Miguel Rojas, we don't necessarily got to get rid of the guy. I'm not saying get rid of him, but I'm not frowning about, hey, maybe he goes back to being a super utility guy how he was in the past. He plays one hell of a defensive position at shortstop, for sure, hands down. But if you put him on another ball club, you're telling me that, you know, the Yankees are going to put him there over, you know, a Gleyber Torres? They're not going to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Any other ball club that they're going to trade for Miguel Rojas, he's going to go there to help out, and they're going to put him in multiple positions. So it's not ludicrous what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm not coming at Miggy Rowe. I love Miggy Rowe. I'm just saying, like, there's gonna be a time. Like, why did we make this trade? Why did we trade away a Zach Gallen for a Jazz if we're not going to give him the opportunity? There's going to come a time and a place where you got to give these times playing time. You know what I'm saying? We got a Jesus Aguilar right now. We got a Garrett Cooper at first base, but Lewin Diaz got to get his rips in. Same thing goes for Jesus Sanchez. All these guys got to get their rips in, and we got to see, all right, are they worth it? Are they not worth it? And we got some value, and we got to see what the hell we got to do.
But I think you bring up a great point, because I do think you have to figure out that fine line between where are we going to put Jazz going forward. But you have to really consider yourself, Miguel Rojas for the next 3 years is probably the better player. And so if they plan on competing for the next 3 years, then Miguel Rojas is probably the best person to have at the shortstop position. Like you also said, he played second base today. I don't think he looked that bad. Is that there is a gap in second base in which I believe there's a long-term spot available. Is Jazz Chisholm the short-term solution maybe to second base? Possibly. And then maybe he shifts over to Miguel Rojas whenever he leaves. I definitely think it's something that has to be considered, though. But I don't think the Marlins expected Miguel Rojas to make this leap that he's made. I mean, look at him. He's batting .375 with like a .440 on base percentage in 19 games. It's kind of a small sample size, but one-third of the season, he's dominating completely.
I feel what you're saying, but I feel like at the same time, we're jumping the gun. Like, we can't really evaluate guys on a full season on 60 games. Like, right now, this is an amazing experience that these guys are getting. We're in the middle of a playoff run and a playoff stretch, you know, and this is an amazing experience for all these guys. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do? There's going to come a moment where it's like, yo, we got to bust moves. Like, You can't judge Eason right now. Eason said he didn't want to play because of the whole pandemic. We're in the middle of a world pandemic. We still no cure for the coronavirus. So you can't blame him for going away and thinking about his health. And now he had a change of heart. Nick Markakis from the Braves had a change of heart. He said he wasn't going to play, and now he's playing. And like, look at him. Like, it's valid that he had a change of heart. He's going to come back and play. And maybe he gets hot and he plays for 10 games and it's awesome. We get into the playoffs and Eason helps us ride the wave. Maybe he goes cold. He doesn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we can't judge him. It's too early. It's a short season. Like, if the Marlins win the World Series.
Like, I don't need to judge him because I've already judged him. Like, I know what Eason Diaz's problems is. He has really bad time and pitch recognition. Are you telling me him sitting out for this extended period of games, missing those opportunities and not facing elite level pitching that the team's been facing so far? I mean, that's really going to hurt your future going moving forward. And I think it's fair to judge him for, I mean, I'm not going to say he's wrong for opting out. Do you? But he definitely gave up the opportunity and has given the room for someone else to take that spot long term, because he still has swing and miss issues and concerns.
And so you don't think it's a little premature? You don't think it's a little premature to judge a guy who's only played 51 games in a major league career? Just 51 games. That's all he's played.
No, I think it's fair to judge him what he is right now as the team pushes towards the playoffs. Long term, yes, he can fix anything. But what I'm saying is right now, he's given the opportunity to someone else to prove that they are better. I believe, hey, he can change. Because like you said, what is he, 23? He has the potential to change anything and change his dynamics and do it. I mean, Justin Turner wasn't very good, I think, until he was like 28, and he went through a drastic swing change. So, yeah, he has the room for growth. But you don't, as a major league player, you never know when that spot's coming back to you. And there's a good chance Don Mattingly loves him from John Birdie. So, I mean, if John Birdie's second baseman moving forward, are you surprised?
John Birdie's another interesting piece that people forget about. You know what I'm saying? He's a super utility guy. You got the luxury of putting him wherever you want. And you said it yourself, John Birdie's playing Birdie ball. And if he keeps it up, like, why take him out of the lineup?
Well, Birdie's the sort of player that I would like in the lineup every day, but somewhere else in the lineup. I know we've been a bit of a bugbear of the Mattingly Sunday lineup when, oh, let's give everybody a rest on the same day. And it just results in the Marlins fielding a weaker lineup that isn't as competitive as it always should be. What I'd like is Bertie to be giving the second baseman a rest on Monday, the shortstop a rest on Tuesday, the outfielder a rest on Friday, and just moving around, because He plays all positions well. I don't think he's A-plus in any defensive position, but you can slot him in anywhere and you'll get a solid outing from him. He's fine at third base tonight. He'll be fine in the outfield later on in the series. But once all these youngsters have made their way through, I don't think there's going to be a place for Bertie and Rojas on the same roster, because you're going to want a few more specialist bats. I don't think Bertie hits well enough to be a pinch hitter. And if Rojas is covering all the infield positions, well, you've always got Brian Anderson that can go to the outfield if you need that extra outfielder. So I think Bertie's going to be the odd one out in a couple of years. And I don't think his hitting is going to keep him around. But I like what he offers to the team right now.
How about Sterling Marte? Huh? It's been a whole party since he got over here. He's been doing pretty good as a fish. He gave us that that home run at Marlins Park. He gave us a home run the other day. And I'll tell you what, man, he's given this Marlins lineup that potent bat that it needed. A little bit more kick to it. You know what I'm saying? A little bit more luxury, a little bit more pop, a little bit more speed. And it kind of feels like a new car. It feels nice driving out of the lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, batting average isn't everything, but I look down the Braves lineup and you see all the guys hitting in the 300s, hitting 290. Same sort of thing with the Mets lineup as well. And you look through the Marlins lineup and just being able to plonk 305, 310, 320, whatever it is he's up to now, right at the heart of that order, it just makes it look more dangerous. And when you pack the home run power around that with Aguiar and then Anderson afterwards, it's a middle of the lineup that you're going to fear. You know, who was looking forward to facing, you know, 912 in the Braves lineup in today's game? Not me, not at all. Other teams are going to think that about the Marlins lineup because they can hurt you. And just that one extra bat really does make the whole lot of difference. What's VR going to do? Yeah, he might stingle, he might steal second. Marte's going to hit it out of the park. He's already got one game winner, and he's contributed in other ways as well since.
I have a quick question. I tweeted this out today. I said, is Monte Harrison's ceiling Starling Marte?
Ceiling Starling Marte. That's a cool ceiling.
Yeah, that's a great ceiling, right?
From what I've read and heard, you know, sort of minor league reports, I think he'll be a better base runner and a more effective base stealer long term. I'm not sure if his power.
Reminder: Marte has gotten 240 steal seasons before. And
what do you think is going to happen with Harold Ramirez, man? Devastating loss. Harold came back the first day. He came back, made an immediate impact, got a single up the middle, RBI. Happy for my guy, and then he just had a freak accident, pulled a hammy, and we lost him for the year.
High chopper to third, low, and
no.
And Harold down in pain. We'll step aside and check in on Harold when we come back.
We wish him a steady, super quick recovery, and we'll see you next season. Shout out to Matt Joyce, man. I keep thinking, like, why the hell is Matt Joyce batting fourth? But hey, man, he keeps connecting with base hits and driving in runs. So just connecting with professional at bat. Shout out to Matt Joyce.
Even getting hits off lefties now as well.
Definitely.
I think it's unfortunate that Harold Ramirez, I think he kind of fell victim to the stop, start kind of thing. And then him being in a major league game, going full speed, hustling it out as he does. I just think it was too much, too quick. And I think there was nothing he could have actually done about it whatsoever to prevent the injury. And it's just, that's the way the season's gone. You see him with pitchers, a lot of them are injured all throughout the majors. And just to see him, and you also saw Garrett Cooper also, I believe, was dealing with the quad issue. Both of them, you know, soft tissue. They were just, you know, running, hustling. Makes me actually wonder, what are they doing down there in the alternate training site, you know, making sure they're getting 100% to game speed, because that's two guys coming straight off the COVID-19 IL and both having soft tissue injuries pretty much right away.
But they were the last two hitters to come off the COVID list. So they weren't being rushed back in the same way that some of the others were. They were out of the Marlins lineup for a lot longer than some others. So I think had they been brought back into the lineup at, you know, the start of August, middle of August, then that would seem a bit soon. They came in end of August. That should have been enough time. you know, if their recovery from the illness has been the usual amount of time that those who've recovered from it, if they followed the same sort of pattern, they'll have had a couple of weeks to get back up to speed. Yeah, it's not a full spring training, but it should be long enough that you're not susceptible to a muscle pull when you run down the first baseline.
I think you brought up a great point, though, to that as well, on which they were the last ones called up. They were the last two major leaguers down there waiting for their call up. You don't think that it just nags on you a little bit? Like, when's my time? You know, you're not working out with other major leaguers. You're working out with players that aren't even really going to be called up to the majors, like J.J. Bede and Carcione, where it's just kind of one of those things. They're not being pushed by other major leaguers. You know, it's, I don't know what the kind of tempo is down there, but if they kind of fell victim of, like, when are we coming up? And if they got complacent, then – I mean, which I don't know. This is just theorizing stuff. I'm just curious on what's going on down there. I am.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Definitely. Well, going to this stretch now, man, we're gonna see a lot of different pitchers, man, and we're going to have our eyes turned to Jordan Yamamoto. What do you expect of Jordan Yamamoto? Did he reach his ceiling? Do we expect a comeback? I mean, we need him to bring his A game.
No chance to see him again, I don't think.
No chance?
I'd be shocked, honestly.
Who do you think the Marlins are calling up to help us pitch?
Nick Nieder and Daniel Castano are the next two. I mean, Nick Nieder, he's pretty much already almost there. And with a 7-8 game, you can kind of get away with someone throwing about 70 pitches, which he's sitting right now at about 65. So, yeah, definitely I think Nick Nieder and Daniel Castano, who's, you know, Castano's already proven, and Nick Nieder would have been a quick call-up if this would have been a regular season, and he wouldn't have gotten knocked out.
Great. Well, looking ahead, man. The Marlins are going to face the Braves. They got two more games against the Braves, including Roberto Clemente Day on Wednesday. Then we got to gear up for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games against the Phillies. Holy cow. And yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Yeah. Holy cow. So we're going to see a lot of Phillies. We're going to go on that Philly cheesesteak diet. Just start eating Phillies. Man, make sure that we go on a win streak. This is going to be a big series,
and we got to at least. It's going to decide that at least for sure. Second place.
I mean, it all depends, because right after we get out of that Philly series, we're going to go see the Red Sox, or the Red Sox are going to come visit us, and then we have the Nationals. So this is going to be the last home stand for the Marlins.
I view that 7-game series as just a warm-up for the 7 games we'll play in the World Series. So, nice 7-game series to get us prepped for October.
Hey, man, the road there is not easy, but along the way, we got to knock out the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Nats, the Braves once again, and the Yankees. The Yankees aren't that powerhouse team. They're beat up. The Red Sox are having a terrible season. So, the road is not impossible. We can definitely achieve it. We're back at 500. You know, we're 18-18, and things are looking up, man. We can't throw the flag yet. Marlins Nation, we're right in the playoff race right now, and this is the beauty of it, man. I can't tell you the last time we were really in the playoff race like this. The excitement that's going through our blood, you know what I'm saying? It's great. I was jumping on the couch when we got the base hit, we took the lead and everything. And talk to me about this freaking new rule, right? The new rule in extra innings, right? It stung us the other day against the Rays. The Rays walked off on us, and then today we were able to seal the deal against the Braves. Personally, myself, I talked to a lot of people, and 9 out of 10 people that I talked to that love baseball hate it. Jonathan, how do you feel about the new rule?
For this year, I love it. For next year, if things are back to normal, I hate it. The whole point of this new rule is to get the game over with. And the four extra inning games we've had, all decided in the 10th. None of them have dragged on. So in that sense, it's done its job. Long term, no. You play normally, play till there's a winner. But if we're trying to get the games done quickly, it's brilliant. It does its job. I like the excitement. I don't think the Marlins have always managed the situations particularly well. But it's doing its job, and I've no problem with it. I would hate for a playoff game to be decided this way, and I would hate for a game in 2021 and beyond to be decided this way. But right now, not a problem for me.
What about you, Tyler? I personally hate it.
Okay. See, I don't mind it, but I want to see a balance between, because the pitchers are at a completely disadvantage. I want to see the hitter start of the 0-1 count, all three outs. Just because I think it is such an advantage to have a person on second that you should be able to, as a pitcher, also have an advantage to try and balance it out. Because I think just starting 0-0, a zero outs, the man on second, I think it's too difficult. But other than that, I really don't actually hate it. But I do wish that managers would start actually putting their strikeout specialist in that 10th inning. Because ball guy, you know, you kind of need to have strikeout specialists for the 10th inning, because strikeouts truly are important the most in that extra inning.
It's a little bit more valuable to have a strikeout guy, I'd say, if you're pitching the top of an inning. But if you're pitching the bottom of the inning, then you know what run matters. So for the Marlins, in, you know, today's situation, the first run, we've got to stop them getting around. So once they're on third, you know, you can put a guy on first and bring the double play into play, because, you know, they're not going to score from first on a single, and the tying run is going to score anyway on the base hit. So a ground ball pitcher, I think, provides a little bit more value. Yeah, you still want the strikeout guy, but I certainly don't think it's a problem for us to have a guy who specializes in ground balls and double plays, because, you know, we saw it in the ninth today.
Listen, man, I know it's the pandemic and everything. You want to get rid of the games a lot quicker. We want to finish them and shit. But, man, I think it's whack. Like, I don't know, man. We're messing with the integrity of the game. Like, we're just doing things that weren't part of the game, like the essence of the game. We all fell in love with the sport of baseball, how it was. Why are we messing with it right now? Like, you're telling me, oh, because they're going to play, the game's going to be over quicker. Yes, it's going to be over quicker. But, like, how is it that the guy that just struck out is now at second base? Like, it's whack. Now he's celebrating that he scored the winning run. Like, that's lame to me. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, maybe it's just the old school in me, but I don't know.
You're looking forward to a pair of seven-inning doubleheaders then this week.
Yeah, like, I mean, like the seven-inning doubleheader, like, I understand it. Yeah, it helps, you know, with the guys, the wear and tear and everything. But to me, I feel incomplete. Like, it's drinking, like, three quarters of a beer and letting the rest sit. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, dude, you got to drink the whole thing. Like, I feel incomplete. Once again, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic and we got to adapt, but I don't know, man. I just feel like, why don't we just play the full nine? Just do it.
But, I mean, are you ready for this? I think the Marlins are a better seven-inning team than they are a nine-inning team. Like, if you're going to throw Pablo Lopez out there, he can go five or six. Sandy, five or six. Six, that was already proven. He can go the distance. So, now I got starters that can just go that far. And I don't even have to expose my bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference of this season. I mean, that ultimately, if we do slip into the playoffs, which I freaking pray to the baseball gods every single day, like, I got my man, I got over here. Look, yeah, I got my man, Brian Anderson over here. We got the pain. Shout out to Emily, you know, and man, I'm just hoping, like, that we can keep it together. Like, we got the pitching, the offense is starting to click, and like, we got to get these guys to stay healthy. Like, Corey Dickerson, like, He was slightly, like, he had a couple home runs against Tampa, but like the ABs haven't been very impressive to me, like how I really want them to. I think it's interesting that Donnie put him at leadoff, and it's cool. Maybe that's going to help him start clicking. I'm still not convinced with the four hitter, but if it's working, you know, with Joyce, leave him there, whatever. I wanted to talk briefly about this. Everybody's always attacking the umpires, right? Because they're doing a terrible job, and rightfully so. We have to voice our opinion. But what do you guys think about, instead of just doing the whole electronical strike zone, right? People were talking about, oh, the electronical strike zone, get rid of the home plate umpire. Why don't we just have some guy like an umpire sitting in somewhere in the stadium with the feed, and he can watch the same feed everybody's watching. You see the little square box, and he can say, all right, ball, strike. And he's seeing the same thing that all the people are watching on TV, and there's less room for error. You know what I'm saying? Like, only, I'm just saying, maybe just for home plate. And then you leave the real human ones down the first baseline and down the third baseline. I don't know what, it was just a thought, that a random thought. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I've sort of thought about this quite a bit, because sort of, you know, the number of games where the Marlins have had when it really does feel like a lot of ball fours were called strike threes in big moments. You know, you feel we've been on the thick end of things.
We just recently lost the game against the Rays. We got a 3-2 count. John Birdie got called strike three on a ball that was clearly a ball four. We would have tied the game up. Like, it's just some BS.
Yeah, and earlier on, the Rays had got ball four on a pitch in exactly the same place to walk in the tying run to make it 2-2. So the two biggest ball strike calls of the game both went against the Marlins. You can still have the home plate umpire there. You just need to put an earpiece in that buzzes when the pitch is a strike. And if he hears the buzz, he gives it the strike call. And if it's not, he gives it the ball call. So you can still have the human there to sort of control the game. If, you know, you still want them to be there and manage the players and, you know, keep a lid on the back chat and all that sort of stuff. But I actually enjoyed watching today's game a little bit more when they took the strike zone off. It looked like they were having some problems with it, because the pitch was appearing before it had actually thrown in the first inning. And then when they came back for the second, the strike zone had gone. And just watching those pitches get called for balls and strikes, I just sort of went along and thought, yeah, that probably was a strike. That probably was a ball. I think actually putting the strike zone on just amps up how frustrated we get when there's just a ball that misses by the tiniest little bit, or a strike that just catches the play and it doesn't go our way. When that line's not there, we don't know any better. So I watched today's game a lot calmer than I have in previous ones, just because I didn't know if there was a blown call on.
I don't know, man. I feel like it just comes with the years. Like, I feel like I have the little, I loved when they implemented the little square box into the TV. And I mean, you have like a general knowledge of what the strike zone is. It's from your elbows to your knees. So, I mean, I just get frustrated that these guys miss like obvious freaking calls. That's all that grinds my gears. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you want kind of what I want. And we just want not really electronic strike zone. We just want better umpires, because that's really the problem. We just want better umpires. But I also kind of agree with you, Jonathan. I like not having the strike zone on TV. I actually really liked it, because I think everything was more clear back there and you could kind of see the catcher more. I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the other thing I would suggest is, if you could use your challenge, doesn't have to be on a safe at first play or a call at second or fair foul in the outfield. If you could use your challenge on a ball strike call, obviously you're only going to get one of them and you've got to get it right. Make sure the dugout doesn't have access to any TVs to see, oh, yeah, the TV picture shows us that was a ball, we can challenge it. But if a hitter knows, I've been screwed over on that call, let him challenge it. And if you blow it, that's your one for the game. But if you can challenge safe at first, which can be just as big a play, why not challenge a third strike or a ball four call?
What do you guys think about Brandon Kinsler? This is his second consecutive blown save. Is it time to panic? Should we panic? Is it cool? I don't think it's time to panic. I think we're cool. Like, it's all right that he's entitled to blow a couple games here and there. But if he continues to blow games, who does Don Mattingly look to close out? I mean, do we look at Richard Blair, the left-handed pitcher? Or we go another route. Maybe you tell Urania, hey, go in there and close out the games for me.
I don't think we're going to have space in our rotation to take Urania out of it. I wouldn't necessarily want Hoyt to be moved there, because I like Hoyt as the fireman coming into the big leverage situations. And, you know, no bigger today than, you know, bases loaded and Ozuna at the plate. And, you know, he got the job done. I want him there for those late 6th, 7th, 8th inning emergencies. Because I don't want to wait for a 9th inning save opportunity that doesn't come because Ozuna's already cleared the bases earlier on in the game. So I don't want Hoyt to move. I want him to keep doing his thing in the late innings. I think it's more likely that Boxberger would just move up from 8 to 9 if they were going to put they were going to move somebody else. I think they were kind of hoping that Blyer's still going to be a lefty specialist as much as you can be with a 3-batter minimum.
I'm kind of on the same boat I've been on the whole season. Whenever he was signed, like, Brandon Kinsler really isn't the best closer. He's just kind of the best option the team has. There is no elite closer really on the entire roster. So it's just kind of one of those things where Mattingly's just had to pick one, and it's had to be him. But I definitely think Brad Boxberger would be the next in line for anything, just because of Mattingly's just willing to go to the veterans. Just like he went to Kinsler straight to the closer role and went straight to Boxberger for the setup role, I think he'll just do the same thing again.
But it shows how far the Marlins have come, and the fact that we're in a playoff race, how well our closer's performing really matters to us now. It's not the difference between 55 and 58 wins. It's the difference between the playoff spot and not. So closers matter to us now, and that's it's a nice position to be in for the first time in a while.
Let's see. Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
No, I was just saying, yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's just I don't think the closer's on the roster yet. I think they're going to have to, if they're going to be serious on contention, I think they're going to have to acquire one. Someone on there is going to be the closer that you can go to in a playoff game and say, you got us, because I don't think it's on the roster.
Well, guys, that'll do it for today's episode of Marlins Barbecue. We want to thank Jonathan Fernley for joining us, Tyler Wilson. You want to give us your final thoughts, Jonathan? Anything you want to say, a speech to the boys, a message to Marlins Nation, to Marlins? We're going to go on a run, bro. Tell them, give them the speech. They're going to hear it.
Why are we looking at the Phillies in second place? Why are we not looking at the Braves in first place? You see that game's back number? It came down today. It'll come down tomorrow. It'll keep coming down. I'm not just settling for a playoff place thinking, oh, we've dropped down to 9th. No. We're going to catch these Braves. We're going to get in that top three. The Braves, yeah, they've got some top hitters, but they haven't got the pitching to live with the Marlins starting pitching. And the Marlins starting pitching is ready to roll, and we're going to see that over the next few weeks. We're going to see it from Sandy. We're going to see it from Pablo. We're definitely going to see it from Sixto. This team is going on a run, and I don't think the Braves and the Phillies are going to be able to live with us over the next 3 weeks.
Noche de Sixto, Noche de Sixto, coming up. Absolutely. Tyler, what's your message?
Oh, my message to Marlins Nation is kind of off you. I definitely think people are concerned about the Phillies series because I think they actually think the Phillies are the best team in the division. At least that's what I believe. My second thought is actually, it's going to be, are we sure Brian Anderson is worth a 6-year extension? Are we sure that he's the answer to third base? I know the team doesn't actually have an answer for it right now, but is he actually the answer moving forward? I think it's something you actually got to think about. Because I think he is a good player, but is he a transitional talent that's going to push the team to the edge? I don't know about that elite slugger, and I don't think the elite slugger is on the team yet.
All right. Well, Jonathan, you have a Twitter handle, or where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, you can get me at JJ Fernley.
All right, JJ Fernley, you had it. Tyler, you want to tell us your Twitter handle, social media, where we can find you at?
It's the @KingOfBuffalo, and I'm not from Buffalo, if you ever ask. So you can follow me, and I'll put out some interesting content. Occasionally have some hot takes that some people may or may not agree with, but at least I'll have some reasoning behind it.
That's right, guys. And for more information, man, make sure you guys check out fishstripes.com for some awesome posts, cool podcasts, more analysis, and some pretty cool, interesting stuff. Anyway, man, let's go fish. And, hey. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. Let's ride that wave, baby. Eli, cue the music, baby.